south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, it's really true that every gringo and expat that comes down to Latin America, not just for a short visit here and there, but for a long period of time, they realize when they do pop back to the States or have visitors come down who are living up in the States, it seems we're always in much better physical and mental shape than the people we left back home up in the first world, up in the States and Canada. I see it happen all the time. Gringos living down here a while, people come down to visit and they say, "Wow, do you look great?" And they're not just saying it out of kindness. Believe me, they're saying it out of envy. It's not like we're bringing it up or thinking about it all the time. We don't. But man, does it hit you like a sledgehammer when you run into visiting tourist Americans around your own age. I'm talking about Americans who haven't had the advantage of living in Latin America for an extended period of time. And as for me, I'm always reminded of the fact that my two brothers up in the States, who are both younger than me, they're in pretty bad shape. One of them with heart stents in his 40s, and the other with depression, chronic arthritis, high blood pressure, screwed up cholesterol. The usual when an American guy hits around 50. And also, he's way on the high end of the bell curve. That is, he's at least a standard deviation above the 5 at 50 rule. You know what that is, right? The 5 at 50 rule? Something that U.S. doctors know. They won't tell you about, or at least not to your face. But it means that once the average American reaches 50 years old, he's on the average of 5 prescription medications. Thus, 5 at 50. Isn't that sad? And of course, as you get older, the numbers escalate. Not linearly, but logarithmically, which is a very revolting development. Now, in my case, or the case of my family, whenever I connect back with them, whether on the internet, Skype, whatever, it never fails. Eventually, complaints about the state of their health slip into the conversation. And when you run into someone you know, or you first call them up, they always say, "Hey, how you doing?" Or if you happen to be in Canada, it's the reverse. "How you doing, eh?" Well, that used to be just a greeting, kind of a rhetorical question, except these days, people will actually tell you the truth, which is sometimes hard to listen to. You know, that they're feeling like crap or this and that is wrong with them, especially when you talk to someone who's in the over 50 crowd. And these days, even first world people in their 40s are starting to pile up on the prescription meds. But anyway, as a rule, when you come down here to Latin America, get that plan B going, stay down for an extended period of time, you realize that the longer you're down, the skinnier and healthier you get. In fact, after all the years I've been down and all the people I've known and met, I don't think I've talked to a single one who's actually gained weight while living here. Even people who didn't give up a lot of their old bad habits, like fast food joints, and there's a million of them down here. Even so, we've got these gigantic produce markets where things are dirt cheap, so you can eat healthy, fresh stuff grown locally on the cheap, on the real cheap. And as you'll find out once you get down here, you'll walk a lot more. Plus, if, like me, you happen to live in the Altiplano where it's spring-like weather all year round, you might be at 4, 5, 6, 7,000 feet above sea level, where it's a proven fact that the oxygen is slightly thinner. So your body has to work a bit harder to keep it at homeostasis. That means in the Altiplano, you burn slightly more calories every day than you would at sea level or at low elevations. So it doesn't take much time before you notice you drop 5, 10, even 15 pounds without changing much of anything. So losing weight in the Altiplano is kind of automatic. Oh, and you'll lose weight too if you decide to live by the beach or at lower elevations. That is, if you've got the willpower not to drink a 12-pack of Coke or beer a day, because if you're an active person and you're not sitting in AC all day, you'll be hot and sweaty most of the time. But to me and most other people on the planet, sweating is not quite the most comfortable way to lose weight. That's why when people stumble onto the Altiplano, they almost never want to leave. So as it turns out, most gringos and expats who've been down here a long time don't realize what real positive effects it has on your health. And how, in contrast, Americans and most people up in the first world are falling apart. However, it's in our faces when we meet an American that comes down from the States just for a visit, or a relative that comes down to see how we're doing, especially when it's a friend or relative around our own age. The irony is, they're coming down to see how well we're holding up under the strain of Latin America, and they're the ones that are on all the meds and who are falling apart. I'll tell you, it's depressing in my own case to know that my two younger brothers, one 11 and one 4 years younger than I am, they're just falling apart. Worse yet, they were super active in sports, and now they're just remnants of their former selves. Worse yet, between them, they're on something like 20 prescription medications. And me, Johnny, the older brother, who was warned by the whole family some 28 years ago that it would be a big mistake to abandon the good old US of A for a third world Latin country. Well, when I first arrived down here, I was suffering the effects of the U.S. treadmill. I had high blood pressure, arthritis in my left knee. I was told by a neurologist that I would need to have carpal tunnel surgery on my right wrist. And I had been getting migraine headaches for years, at least once a week. Well, it didn't take long, not in the greater scheme of things anyway, for the secondary effects of living in Latin America to kick in. And I didn't realize what's going to happen. But after about a year or so, my blood pressure returned to normal. That nervous tingling in my right wrist, sign of carpal tunnel problems, that went away. Best of all, no more arthritis in the left knee. Now, how'd that happen? I certainly wasn't anticipating any of that. What a bonus, huh? And those migraine headaches? Well, I've been getting those since I was 12. They never went away completely. Guess I'm kind of stuck with that, and they can be nasty. So my health got better, and it wasn't even part of the plan. And believe me, 28 years ago, no one was talking about the positive health effects of moving to Latin America. In fact, back then, all my friends and family were saying it would be bad for my health. In a different sense, though, in the way of kidnappings, assaults, murders, and Montezuma's revenge. But, you know, on the subject of getting old and feeling old before your time, what really gets me is when I see recording artists and famous people from the 80s and 90s and such showing up in the news as physical basket cases and just falling apart themselves. I mean, look, those are the guys that wrote, sang, and played the soundtracks to our younger lives. For example, it really saddened me when I heard that Eddie Van Halen had a hip replacement and cancer of the tongue. They removed 3/4 of it. Too bad that couldn't have happened to David Lee Roth, huh? Then you've got Steve Perry, the voice of Journey. I mean, everybody knows that voice, right? He's had a hip replacement and he survived cancer twice. Then there's Lionel Richie. He's had a hip replacement, though I don't really give a rat's ass about his music. He's kind of like the Black Barry Manilow. Speaking of Barry Manilow, you know, back in the rock and roll days, we used to call him Barely Manly. Wonder if he could sue me for that. Well, he could sue for anything these days, right? Then get this. Steve Carell, you know, the guy from The Office and the 40-year-old virgin, he's had a hip replacement. And did you know Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's had a hip replacement too. Maybe he'll be back for another. Talk about shades of Terminator, huh? And how about this? You've got Steve Tyler of Aerosmith, a knee replacement. He's going in shortly to get the other one done. Then you've got the piano man, Billy Joel, hip replacement. Man, if hearing about that stuff doesn't make you feel old, especially when you're older than some of those guys. For example, you got this guy, Luke Perry, who just stroked out at 51. Of course, you know, being in the entertainment biz, you could say they abuse themselves quite a lot, and they do. But, you know, one of my college friends from up in the States is an orthopod, an orthopedic surgeon, and he says when you read about someone like Steven Tyler or Eddie Van Halen, celebrity joint replacements and all that, you know, that's a major surgery. For something like that, you're in the operating room for hours. And if you don't think that's major surgery, next time you're at the beach, just have a look at some of those gigantic scars and what those things really look like after they've healed. Anyway, my orthopod buddy up in the States, he estimates there are 5 times as many celebrities who've had that stuff done, but it's done in secret. And let's face it, if Woody Allen had a hip replacement, that wouldn't break anyone's heart. But if Tom Selleck or George Clooney had one, man, a lot of women would be more than slightly disappointed, don't you think? Which brings us roundabout to the subject of alternative medicine here in Latin America. Man, do I get emails on that subject. That's why when I do my expat insider seminars, we do a little section on just that subject. Because, you know, so-called experimental treatments and even some non-experimental but proven treatments are not allowed up in the United States. Because, you know, if big insurance companies and big pharma can't make money off it, meaning they can't patent it or get you on a drug that you have to take forever, you'll find many cases where drug companies can and do pressure the FDA to keep those treatments off the market. So it's the drug companies that don't want holistic or natural medicine alternatives around. That kind of stuff interferes with their bottom line. And if you don't believe Big Pharma's got that all tied up, did you know that Big Pharma is the fourth biggest spender when it comes to lobbying Congress? And the number one corporate spender. The only groups that spend more on lobbying are the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the National Association of Realtors, and the Business Roundtable? What? What's that all about? I think it needs to be investigated. Anyway, those are groups and organizations that don't actually produce a product. So Big Pharma is the number one spender for lobbying Congress for a group that actually produces a product for sale. That's why some procedures and practices are done here in Latin America, ones that aren't allowed or aren't sanctioned by the FDA up in the States. And as long as the FDA and Big Pharma can continuously call something experimental, a person in need may have to jump through many hoops to get the treatment. And believe me, when the average American, even the above average American, hear the words experimental treatment, they're thinking, man, I don't want to be no guinea pig. That might make it worse or even kill me. Just give me those pills with the good old FDA seal of approval. Even if they cost me $500 a month, hell, I got insurance. They'll pay for part of it or most of it. So it's not to say that here in Latin America anything goes, unless, of course, you're out in the boonies, then maybe anything does go. But as it turns out, a lot of extremely legit American and European doctors, that is, extremely well-published scientists, docs, and researchers, have set up alternative medicine clinics here in Latin America. And we know there is always some kind of a stigma attached to that. When you hear about alternative clinics in Tijuana or Panama, whatever, the average American, even the above-average American, is thinking, man, something's wrong here. Must be quacks or rip-off artists. You're thinking, I heard they do weird stuff, you know, snake venom treatments, injecting sheep fetuses into people's eyeballs. Hey, didn't Frank Sinatra have that done in Tijuana? And look where it got old blue eyes, or I should say old snake eyes. Yep, yeah, ask the average American, and normally he's thinking, I've heard about those alternative medicine clinics in Latin America, taking advantage of people in the final stages of life and all that. But what you'll find out if you really look into the situation is that a lot of highly regarded docs and specialists up in the States have clinics in Latin America, too. Yep, that's right. They can be affiliated with some of the best hospitals and clinics up where you live in Cleveland and Chicago, and have a clinic in Panama City or Tijuana, too, where they're allowed to do procedures and treatments that they know work but have not yet received FDA approval up in the States. Sure, there are alternative medicine clinics here in Latin America that are iffy. They're staffed by doctors that aren't well-known, haven't published or published in the English journals, etc. So you have to do your homework. It's buyer beware. But there are some clinics that are doing treatments and procedures that turn out to be absolutely amazing for the patient, run by doctors and researchers who publish their studies worldwide. We're talking about the highest level, most prestigious scientific publications, too, like the New England Journal of Medicine, Science, Nature, The Lancet, etc. Well, as it turns out, they usually do all their studies, experiments, and tests up in the States. And of course, people do get in on those special treatments and trials. But the numbers are small. There's just a few. So if you think you're a candidate, you have to apply for the treatment and just might not get selected. However, sometimes you'll find you can get the treatment south of the border. In other words, if you've got chronic arthritis and you'd be perfect for a particular treatment in trials or that you've been reading about, you still might not qualify. And even if you qualify, it's considered an experiment. So there'll be no insurance coverage. And in the test, they'll only select a very small sample. And you just might be in the control group. You got a 50-50 chance, you know. So in a trial, half of the people don't get the efficacious drug at all. They get the placebo. And that you won't find out till much later, sometimes years later, depending on the follow-up. Now, you know, these days there are lots of breakthrough treatments. You read about them all the time. Sometimes your doctor knows about them, but you can't get them in the States because they're experimental. And sometimes your clueless doctor will even tell you that what you're reading about is a long shot or ineffective or doesn't work at all. It's a scam. Because, you know, some doctors believe all the shit the FDA shovels. because he too is at the mercy of Big Pharma, who have control of the FDA and the American Medical Association, including many of the research publications too. Then you've got those big pharma reps who show up at the office practically every day with freebies, expensive gifts, trips to Maui, etc. So the drug companies who are in control of all of this would rather get you hooked for life on some expensive medicine. It's their goal, really. That's why a lot of brilliant and courageous U.S. doctors have set up clinics here in Latin America. And yes, of course, they take the heat and the criticism from people up in the States, like, for example, my own mother, who's had her hip replaced, and she belongs to what I call the Widow's Club, and they've all had their hips replaced, too. Yep, she belongs to a small group of little old ladies who travel around the world on their dead husbands' insurance dough. Isn't it funny? All the guys are dead, and all the women have hip and knee replacements. You've heard me say this before. I've never once ran into a Latin American person who's had a hip or a joint replacement. You only see that, at least I only see that, with gringos and expats who come down. And sure, with all the first world hospitals and clinics here, they offer such a service, but there just aren't a whole lot of joint replacements going on. I'll tell you, it's nothing like up in the States. And you know, it's looking more and more like it's exercise and diet related, because you see so many old timers down here in their 80s and 90s just hacking away at the brush with their machetes. Meanwhile, up in the States, what do you see 80 and 90 year old persons hacking away at? They're in wheelchairs or ambling a bit in their walkers and just basically hacking. Yep. Hacking in a sputum sense of the word. Ew. So anyway, I've come across a lot of alternative clinics and doctors here in Latin America. And what's big now, of course, in the first world anyway, is stem cell treatments called células madres here in Latin America. Literally translated, mother cells. So then you might be thinking, well, they've got stem cell clinics and treatments up in the States, so you'd think the only reason to go to Latin America for such a treatment would be to save a buck, right? Well, not so fast. It's more complicated than that. You see, the type of so-called approved stem cell treatments in the States involve using a person's own bone marrow cells. Yep, they've got clinics here in Latin America that do that stuff every day. And the cost, well, you might have heard me in a previous show mention that it's around $4,000 for a series of treatments. And I hear up in the States, it's something like $4,000 a treatment. So yes, you go to any private doctor, hospital, or clinic here and talk about stem cells and they'll refer you to someone. But here's what you didn't know. There's a kind of a stem cell treatment developed up in the States, of course, that's considered experimental, where they use stem cells from a mother's placenta. Still not approved by the FDA and considered experimental treatment up in the States. Well, guess what? These clinics are now popping up down here in Latin America, and one of the most famous is in Panama. And you guessed it, or maybe you didn't. It's run by a team of brilliant American researchers, doctors, and microbiologists who perfected the treatment up in the States but can't get it approved up there. Why? Well, told you that already. But isn't it funny? Once you're done with the treatment, generally, you're not hooked on any pharmaceuticals at all. Now, this particular stem cell treatment center in Panama has a website in English because it's run by gringo doctors, and it's connected with and affiliated with a stem cell research center and hospital up in the States that only does the bone marrow stuff. But in Latin America, they do the placental cells, and the treatments have proven absolutely amazing. For example, for people who are on heart transplant lists, after the treatment, the injections, most all of them have improved so much they come off the transplant list. They're using it to cure MS, arthritis, and on and on. Now, I especially think you'd be very interested if you're on a list to get a joint replacement or have any kind of heart trouble. Just a disclaimer here, I've got nothing to do with this clinic or any other ones, except to say I have a degree in biomedical engineering, so I know a bit about this stuff. So for all you wannabes and gonna-bes who've been sending me emails about alternative treatments, such as this and others, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you a link to their site, it's in English, and I'll send you a link to a YouTube video that you just will not believe. I don't want to give the punchline away here, but when you see it, you will be amazed and impressed. Believe me, there's nothing dry and boring about this YouTube either. So again, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Oh, and by the way, about my two brothers. Very recently, I've been in contact with this clinic because both of my brothers are perfect candidates. Yet my super bright mother, who's got more degrees than a thermometer, she said to one of my brothers, I wouldn't do it. It's not approved by the FDA. I said, Ma, I know you read that book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Well, there's another book you should read. It's called Why Smart People Do Stupid Things. Enough said about that. All right, now comes this email from a retired psychiatrist listener, been living his Plan B for 3.5 years now in Panama. This comes from Dr. Colin. He says, Johnny, I think I know why Latin Americans are so happy compared to their U.S. citizen counterparts. And to us, it doesn't make much sense unless you live here and observe it. Then he says, Latin Americans are broke and can never hope to afford everything they see on TV. That should make them sad and a bit depressed on a certain level. That's a part of why so many Americans get into deep debt. And that, in turn, puts them into a cycle of depression. Yes, they get the instant gratification of buying the newest iPhone, but the heavy price of having to pay back those debts monthly produces a kind of a futility and depression. Another part of the depressive cycle with people up in the United States is that many of them feel like failures or robots on the job because they know if they work for a company, most times they can never really advance. As opposed to Latin American adults who don't feel like failures or robots, even when they have the crappiest of jobs. They are just happy to have a job, to have steady work. It's a throwback to the situation in the United States in the 1960s, like my own father. He got up very early and came home late every day, tired and hungry with ground-in dirt on his calloused hands and grease under his fingernail. But never depressed or defeated, just tired. That seems to parallel the state of the Latin American male right now. They work hard, they come home late, tired and hungry, but never depressed or feeling defeated. There just doesn't seem to be a sense of personal defeat, no matter how hard life is, how dirty or gritty or repetitive the jobs they have. Meanwhile, up in the United States, if you ask the average person if he likes his job, 80% will say, not really, it's boring with little chance of advancement. You see, Johnny, Americans have been told over and over again that there must be meaning and purpose in their jobs. However, for most, it's a false hope. That's just not the reality of life, and it's always been like that. But with all those self-help books, Dr. Phil, Oprah, life coach gurus, and sociologists, that's why 80% of working Americans are on the road to Prozac. And me, after dealing with psychiatric patients for 40 years or so, it always amazes me that Latin Americans never complain about their jobs, no matter how boring, repetitive, or grueling the task might be. And I'm the curious type, so I've asked quite a few. The takeaway message, Johnny? Americans could learn a lot about depression by just having a good look at how Latin Americans handle life. Physically, their days are quite a bit more difficult than ours. Just try to think what life would be like without a washing machine in your home. 50% of Latin homes don't have one, you know. Signed, Dr. Colin. All right, thanks for that, Dr. Colin. He's in Panama City. I wonder if he knows about that particular stem cell clinic. Probably not. And now, another email. This one comes from Mr. B. You know, he's our resident expert on how to make money teaching English online. In fact, for my last few seminars, he's been giving a little stand-up performance, showing seminar attendees exactly how they could do it, too. So let me read this for you. It just came in. It's an update. He says, Johnny, I've just received a raise from both of the online English teaching companies I work for. I've worked for one company for a year now, and they just gave me $1.40 an hour U.S. raise. Now, the bad thing is most of the online teaching companies took away some of the bonuses you get. But I was never really good at making those bonuses anyway. I do prefer the raise. That puts my hourly rate to $19.40 U.S. That's $19.40 an hour. All right, meet Johnny here again. You know, $19.40 an hour is pretty good in the States, right? But here in Latin America, especially in his case, because he's receiving the pay from a Chinese company, he pays zero taxes on that legally. Because if you're a U.S. citizen living as a resident in a foreign country for more than 1 year, you pay no taxes at all on approximately the first $105,000 you earn from a foreign source. Of course, if you're living outside the U.S. and receive your money coming from a company in the U.S. or from rents or whatever, you have to pay taxes. But if your income is from another country, you pay no taxes up to $105,000 a year. But you knew that already, right? Then Mr. B says, the second online teaching English company I work for raised everybody's minimum wage from 0.8 yuan per minute to 1.5 yuan per minute. That made it go from $7 an hour to $13 US an hour. So I get $13 an hour just to talk on the phone. That's not to teach English, but just to help improve clients' conversational skills. Isn't that great? I get $13 an hour just to talk on the phone. Then he says, I'm well into the process of becoming a permanent resident in Guatemala, and me and my family are excited about that. By the way, he's living down in Guatemala City with his wife and two kids. Then he says, you know what, Johnny? This life, my new life, all started when I came across your podcast. This led me to a phone consult with you, which led me to the expat concierge service, ladies, and then I moved here. This, Johnny, was my best decision ever. If you recall, Johnny, I came down without a job and it sucked trying to get one. I remember thinking, teaching online is not for me. I have broken English to begin with. You know, I was desperate. I had to try something or move back to the U.S. I didn't want to fail again like I did when we moved to Panama. All right, me, Johnny, again. If you remember Mr. B's story, he went down with his family to Panama first. That was before coming across my podcast and just couldn't make a go of it there. No contacts, no job, and just too expensive there, he said. Then he says, but now I started this teaching English online job making really good money, relatively speaking, for Latin America. And a year later, I'm making even better money. Not bad, he said, for a kid with just a high school diploma coming from the ghetto. Then he says, even without all of those bonuses, $19 an hour plus a few bonuses here and there really kicks, especially here in Guatemala. So for introducing me to all of this, my family thanks you and all you do, Johnny. Looking forward to being part of your next seminar if you'll have me speak again, Mr. B and family. All right, Mr. B, thanks for that. Of course, you'll get to do your stand-up spot at my next seminar. So there you have it. For everyone who's in such doubt that they won't be able to make any money to survive down here, think about people like Mr. B who came down without a job and now have a nice little success story going for themselves, and they can teach you exactly how to do it too. Oh, and you know what's cool about teaching English online besides the fact you get to stay home? It really takes almost no investment, no money in, except he had to buy some $40 headphones, have a decent computer and internet speed, and that's about it. Meanwhile, you get these pop-up windows and you hear about people buying these get-rich-on-the-internet programs, packages, and schemes. I get those ads all the time too, don't you? And I'm not convinced. Most of them cost from a couple hundred to a couple $1,000s, and it takes a lot of time and effort and perseverance to slog through. Of course, nothing's a sure thing, but Mr. B's come pretty close. You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!